Well, good morning, everybody, and we do welcome you along to our Sunday morning service on this day, the May Day weekend. It's lovely to be here in the house of the Lord. As we come to worship the Lord, let's read the words of Paul. We find them in Romans chapter 1. And if you're following the daily devotionals, which we've just started this month, you will have read these words this morning already. Let's read Romans chapter 1, reading from verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. But I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish, so I am eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Amen. I'm going to rise and sing our opening hymn, See What a Morning. It'll be up on the screen. Thanks to Jordan at the back for, if we can have the first hymn. Thank you very much. Let's rise and sing together, See What a Morning, Gloriously Bright. Let's rise together. Let's continue to worship the Lord as we bow before him in prayer this morning. So, Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you for this time together in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the way you've blessed us and kept us throughout the week, which has gone with its ups and downs, blessings and trials. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Help us, Lord, to lean closely on you in these days that we're living in. Thank you for all that you've given us, Heavenly Father. We are created in your image. we've been made by you and to know you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done for us. You've given us life, many blessings as well, day by day. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the greatest blessing of all. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners. Thank you, Lord, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ came and lived a perfect life, Heavenly Father, and then he offered up that life freely. He knew no sin, yet became sin for others. He offered up his life at the cross at Calvary, and he died that we might live. He is risen from the dead, as we've just been singing. And Lord, without Christ, we would have no hope at all in this world or the next. We thank you that the price for our sin has been paid. And thank you that we can know you because Jesus has paid the price for sin. If we know and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, we can know the joy of assured salvation, sins forgiven, hope now and for all eternity, your presence with us day by day. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord God. We'll be looking at that a little bit later in the service, but being filled with the Spirit, cleanse us of our sin, Lord, and renew us and strengthen us in our faith this day, we pray. Bless our fellowship, Lord. Be with those who are not able to gather with us. Be with those who are laid aside through ill health. There are people known to us, Lord, laid aside and shut in and not able to get out to services. And Lord, there's others who've been through surgery recently as well. Pray for Helen, Lord, while she's recovering as well from what she's been through. She's been through a lot recently. Pray for strength in her. Pray for Albert, Heavenly Father. He's had surgery this week and he's recuperating too. Just pray that you'll give him strength and relief from relief for the pain and the soreness, Lord God. We pray that he'll be better and back among us very soon. Lord, there's others known to us, Lord. We just pray that you'd give strength and, Lord, be near to those, Lord, who are shut in. Whatever their state of body or state of mind, let them know your loving, caring presence with them in these days, we pray. Bless us as a fellowship, Lord. Help us not to be at ease in Zion. Help us, Lord, not to be resting on our laurels, but to be looking ahead, Lord, and let's not be resting in past victories and blessings too. Let's be looking forward. Let's be looking forward, Lord God. We're mindful, Lord, it's well over 2 years we've been in vacancy. We pray, Lord God, for the ongoing work and witness of the church. And pray that you'd guide us now and in the days to come, God willing. And Lord, as regards the pastoral situation, Lord, help us to be prayerful about this. To seek you about the situation, Lord. And we do pray that you'd bless the ongoing preaching of the word here with the different preachers who come. But in time, Lord God, we pray that you'd guide us, Lord, to a shepherd for an under-shepherd for the flock here, Heavenly Father, to minister the word faithfully, Lord God, and to care for the people. We bring this matter to you. Lord, bless the ongoing preaching of the word today. Be with those who are out preaching. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for a spiritual and a moral healing for the nation. But Lord, bless other gatherings like this today where the word is being preached, Lord God, and your people are assembling for worship, Lord. We ask you to bless and strengthen your church and add to it, we pray. Help us as we continue to worship you, Lord God. We pray you'd speak to us afresh from your word this morning, that we'd know it was good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of choruses now, so you can remain seated for this. We're going to sing, first of all, it's going to be Abba Father. I've got them in the right orders. Sorry, it's All Heaven Declares. There's two verses of that. And then we'll sing that through, and then we'll sing Abba Father. There's a couple of, we'll sing that on the back of this one, All Heaven Declares. The words are based on Psalm 19. So we'll sing this one first. Just remain in seated, then we'll go into Abba Father. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. And of course, there's nothing wrong with key changes, is there, Norman? I mean, we've been through a few of that in the past. So I'm sure some of you remember. Right. Well, I've got some announcements to give out just now, so just bear with me. They're on my phone here. There's not really a lot for the week. It is, of course, the May weekend. Now, there is tea following the service today. Now, it's my understanding that there's none and nutter in the coming day. Is that right? Aye, because it's May Day. Okay, so no knitting nutter tomorrow. The Pilates is at the usual times, so it's 6 o'clock on Tuesday, and then Wednesday and Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Now, the Wednesday night Bible study and the prayer meetings, usual time, 7:30 in the lounge and on Zoom. We're having a few Zoom problems last week, but hopefully we've got it worked out now. We're doing daily readings in Romans over May and June, so I've made a reference to this book here. Still a few copies, so if you haven't got one, pick one up as you go out. It's down there by the collection plate. I did read the opening, read from the opening chapter of Romans today, so there's a little study on those verses yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in fact, as well. It looks like quite a good study as well, so I do recommend this book here by David Cook on Romans. So do feel free to pick one up as you leave today if you haven't got one with you. And if you're not able to make it on a Wednesday night, whether it's in person or in Zoom, still carry on with an excellent study in the book of Romans. Do continue to study with us, to go with us through the book of Romans as well. Do pray for those who are ill in hospital or who are laid aside. And next week, God willing, the speaker is our dear friend, Matt Moeller. He'll be joining us next Sunday, God willing. I think these are all the announcements that I need to make. We're going to go to another letter of Paul's this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 1. I'm going to read the first 21 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. That there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light, therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, dressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Thank you for your word, which we've been reading for the next few moments. We pray that you speak afresh from your word. Teach us by the Spirit. and be glorified in our midst, we pray. We pray we'd know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Just thinking ahead as well, Lord God, of what's going on in our own nation and indeed throughout the world. Lord, whether us fighting in war, we pray for peace in places like Iran, in the Middle East, in the Ukraine, Lord God, in different parts, troubled spots throughout the world. And we do thank you that you are in control. We do pray that you'd intervene, you'd minister into the situations. We do pray for peaceful settlements. We pray that you'd guide different world rulers and people who have to make decisions, Lord God. We do pray for peace. We do pray, Lord God, as well for the church in these situations. Pray for protection, for safety for your people, Lord God. Indeed, we pray for the growth of the church in these days. And be with those serving you in foreign fields too. For our own nation, Lord God, you know the turmoil that's going on in the nation, Lord God, and we have to bring it all before you. Thank you that you are the Lord, you are in control. And as the nation goes to the polls this weekend, we do pray for discernment when it comes to voting. We pray and pray for much wisdom and guidance there. And we do pray, Lord God, for Christians in places of influence and Christians who may be elected to councils and parliaments, Lord God. We do pray that you'd give them wisdom and guidance, Lord, in the situations they're in. Help them to be salt and light, we pray. So, Lord, we thank you that you do hear and answer prayer. Speak to us afresh from your word this morning. Help us as we further worship you before we come to your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we come to Ephesians 5, then let's sing together. There is a name I love to hear. I love to speak. I love to sing its word. Let's rise and sing together.
Thank you.
Are you the type of person like myself who likes going for a walk? Go and unwind for a little bit. We used to have the fitness and fellowship on Thursday, and hopefully get it back again soon someday. But a few of us used to go for a walk in a blether on Thursday night, speaking about the things that Ben liked to speak about. Would you like going for a walk just on yourself or with a group of friends? We see people walking regularly around the Broch. Or are you the kind that prefers a run? Were you ever into jogging maybe when you were younger? I could never, I see these joggers out in the evening sometime, and I think, definitely not. I could never have done that. But are you the kind that prefers a run? I remember I had a friend down south who used to put on his Leeds United Fitbus strip and gone for a run about 12 miles or something to the next town and back. He really was a glutton for punishment. A weird sport in Leeds and going for the run. Did you like cross-country running? Do you remember the days at school when you used to have to run down the track of the academy and run round Duff Road and Alexandra Terrace, or were you like me, run down the track and then you just walked for the rest of the way until you got in sight of the teacher again, and then you had to run the rest of the distance? Some of you will remember, actually, way back in the 1970s, there was a guy who played for Aberdeen Football Club, a bit of a hero, Joe Harper. Does that name ring a bell for some of you? But apparently, I read his biography this week, and apparently he was a bit of a hero when it came to goal scoring, but he hated training. He absolutely hated training, especially running. And the manager would send them around the track in different laps, and he used to run the first part, duck into the bushes, and wait till the players had maybe done two or three laps, then he would jump out, come out of the bushes, and run the rest of the journey. So would that have been you? Some people just can't cope with too much running. Those who run get tired. The walker, though, can keep going for quite a bit. The progress of the walker is not as dramatic as the runner or the jogger, but is very certain, very definite. You'll get there eventually. The Christian life is a walk. It's not a run. Sometimes Paul does describe the believer as an athlete, for instance, in 1 Corinthians. Also in 2 Timothy, we read these words, and also, if anyone competes as in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So he's got a few illustrations there for the believer in 2 Timothy chapter 2. One of them is an athlete. And there he's stressing, okay, not speed as such, but discipline and perseverance. But this is a different context, a different group of people he's writing to, in a different context, and this passage is different. We mustn't think of the Christian life as a run. It should be a walk. Okay, now in what sense should it be a walk? There is a consistency about walking. As I say, running can be inconsistent. You can run down the path for a while, and you can just stop and walk, or you can sneak away or something like that. You can be inconsistent. Run for a bit, slow down, stop for a breath of fresh air before you take it up again. Walking, though, is consistent. Sometimes, okay, you can run, maybe some people could run better than others, but there's a steadiness about walking, isn't there? It's consistent. You keep the same pace. Nothing dramatic, nothing flash, nothing like that, just same steady pace. Now, Paul uses the word walk in Ephesians chapter 5 here to show what God is requiring of you and I. Consistent Christian living. Nothing glamorous, nothing dramatic, just consistent Christian living. Our personal attitudes and our behavior shouldn't change. We should certainly grow in our faith. Now, we're going for a walk or a run, whatever, there's going to be a starting point, hasn't there? The starting point of the Christian walk is when we believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And we should go on, we should walk and go forward and grow in our Christian life. And our behavior and our attitudes shouldn't change. We should be growing and walking and growing in our love for God and for each other. Let's see three things about the Christian walk this morning. What does Paul say? In the opening verses, in verses 1 to 7, he tells us to walk in love. Walk in love. Ephesians 5 is a picture, the beginning of Ephesians 5 certainly, is a picture of holy living. It follows on from chapter 4. Chapter 4 ends with these words. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There you are, what a challenge that is. Paul warns against anger and bitterness. It's sad when these attitudes do appear in the family of God. Yes, we all make our mistakes, don't we? And we all do things that we shouldn't do, but there's got to be forgiveness as well. It's sad, but do we do that? Or do we still hold people where they are and say no? Paul says we are to forgive each other. It can be a hard lesson sometimes. And we are to walk in love. This is what he goes on to say in chapter 5, walk in love. Walk in love. In verse 2, walk in love as, why? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. We have to walk in love because we are beloved children, God's beloved children, verse 1. Now, think about children. Don't children often go on and copy their parents? He's just like his dad, or he's, you know, she's just like her mum. Don't they often display, very often, some, not all, but some of the same characteristics, the same nature, as we'd say here, same temperament? Well, we are beloved children. We are to be like our, strive to be like our Heavenly Father. It says, be imitators of God as beloved children. What are imitators? What's an imitation? All right, it's a copy of the original. Seen these people, you know, I see them so much on TV now, doing imitations of famous people. What are they doing? They're copying, okay, they're sending them up, but they're copying the original, the characteristics, the behavior, the voice, the dress or whatever. A copy, okay, an imitation, whether it's a painting, an imitation painting, it's a copy of the original. A copy based on a genuine original. But what or who is the original source of righteous and holy living? God. God's people are called to bear witness to the original. The authentic, we're called to bear witness to him, and that's why we must walk in love. Walk in love. What kind of love? Love that knows no pains to promote the good of others. The self-giving love which Christ had when he went to the cross for sinners. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's a self-giving love, a love which pleases God. As with Christ, so with us. Self-sacrificial love is a sweet-smelling fragrance, an aroma to God. The Old Testament offerings, when they were made, the ascending smoke was sweet and pleasant to God. Calvary was horrific, but Christ's sacrifice was ultimately pleasing to his Father. It's a sacrifice that's never to be repeated, but Christ's love ought to be reflected in the way that we treat people, that we treat each other, and the way that we treat other people. Is the way that we treat each other pleasing to the Father? Well, we've got a heart examination there. What can we do to help others? Certainly by prayer, but also practical help as well. Does the way we treat each other please the Father? And are we following on that instruction from Paul at the end of chapter 4? Forgive each other as God in Christ forgave you. Walk in love. There's a way then for the Christian to walk in love. The love I've just described. There's a way for the Christian not to walk. And it's described in verses 3 to 7. Sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking. There's a list of different things there. Walking in the ways of God means to refuse other ways. We're living in a counterculture, if you like, We've not to adopt the attitudes and the ways of the world. Paul speaks initially about walking in love, okay, making self-sacrifice. He turns then to address self-indulgence, from self-sacrifice to self-indulgence. Those who follow the holy God should not walk or live or speak in an unholy way. The path of immorality and impurity is there. So is the path of setting your heart on possessions and property. Now, Paul speaks about covetousness and being an idolater in verse 5 there. These things, okay, having possessions is not necessarily bad, but these things, it's when they take up the place in your life that belongs to God. That's the problem. God says, you shall have no other God before me. So those who take these paths and who covet and put their trust in possessions, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. Paul says here, everyone who is sexually immoral and impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. The way forward and upward is the giving of thanks. Let there be thanksgiving in verse 4. Those who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the unconverted, the non-Christians, will do these things that are described in verses 3 to 7 because they are the sons of disobedience in verse 6. But the Father's children, beloved children, must not behave as they do. As I say, we're in a counterculture. We've got to take our stand and stand out. A Christian woman attended an anniversary dinner in honor of a friend, not knowing that there would be a program of dirty comedy following the meal. The comedian tried to entertain the crowd with coarse humor and degraded everything that the guest held to be honorable. At one point, the comedian's throat became dry. "Please bring me a glass of water," he said. And the woman called out, "And while you're at it, bring a toothbrush and a bar of soap with it too." She made her point, didn't she? She stood out. What would we have done? There is a way for the believer to walk, but there's a way as well for us not to walk. Which way are we walking? Now, no true Christian really knows Jesus as Savior and Lord. No true Christian can ever be lost, but the genuineness of our faith will be proven by an obedient life, a life walking in love, a life walking in obedience. Someone has said this, remember it, the Christian isn't sinless, but they should sin less and less and less. Paul says, walk in love. Secondly, Paul says, walk in light, verses 8 to 14. Walk in light, from verse 8. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, what does Paul say? Imitate God, be an imitator, because we are his dear children. We are not left to our own devices. We are his dear children. He gives us the Spirit of God. We are to imitate him. We are to be like him. He has shown you his love. Now you love. Walk in love. But he has also brought us out of the darkness. Now walk in the light. Walk in the light. He's shown you love. You love. He's shown you his light. Now he's brought you from the darkness. Now walk in the light. How do we walk in the light? Yeah, switch the light on and make sure we know where we're going. Well, no, that's not what it's a reference to here. How do we walk in the light? Separation. Certainly, separation. The child of God will not be a partner in sin, nor with men in the pursuit of sin. Verses 11 and 12, take no partner in the unfruitful work of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Paul doesn't mean to cut off from others, but to stand out. Again, like that lady calling out, get the soap and water, all right? Stand out. Stand out not just by the things you say, but by your lifestyle. Living a life of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do good. Verse 9 there. The true light is to be found in all that is good and right and true. That's to be our lifestyle. Walk in the light. Be separate from those who walk in the darkness. Stand out. And if you stand out, of course, if you're walking in the light and people are in the darkness, well, think about it. Light and darkness, that's a contrast. So we've got to be a contrast. We were once in darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Think, really, where's the first mention of light in the scripture? It's when the light broke into the darkness at creation. God said, let there be light. Think, imagine what that would have been like. Like just darkness over the face of the earth. And then let there be light. The contrast. The Christian lifestyle will be a contrast. And it will expose the darkness. It will expose the lifestyle of the world, a world without God. Light exposes and shows what is wrong. Can you imagine a surgeon operating in the darkness? They would refuse to do it. No surgeon would operate in the darkness. Why not? He might make a false move and it could be tragic. He could take a life. Could an artist paint a picture in the darkness? Yeah, it would be modern art, all right. I think we'd just call it a mess, wouldn't it? An artist wouldn't paint a masterpiece in the darkness. A sculptor wouldn't make something in the darkness. Light reveals the true character of things. Now, that's why non-Christians, the bulk of, most non-Christians stay clear of church. Most people go on heedless and indifferent without God. And they stay clear of church. They stay clear of the Bible. They steer clear of other Christians, true Christians. Because light exposes darkness. The light which God gives reveals a person's true character. And that can be uncomfortable for some people, for many people. The exposure for some people will not be very complimentary. As Christians walk in the light, we refuse to have fellowship with the darkness. We expose the dark things of sin for what they really are. The dark world is in need of light. Only Christians can give it. It was the old children's chorus again. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light. In this world of darkness, so we must shine. I was never sure about the last line of that. So you in your small corner and I in mine. Not sure about that line. Maybe some people are. But Jesus bids us shine. He calls us to shine with a pure, clear light. How do we do it? Well, not just talking the talk. That can be important that we are ready to give an answer. We do it when our lives are different from others round about us. Jesus says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Live it out. Outlive the world round about you. Should we never speak against sin? Paul's speaking against sin himself. Years, but we shouldn't be ranting, never pointing the finger. Okay, sometimes there are things we are called, we are called to speak out, aren't we? But we shouldn't be ranting and always pointing the finger. We are called to live differently so that it's clear that we stand out and that other paths are empty and folly. A holy life in a workplace or a family or a neighborhood or wherever you go, a holy life will do more than a million words from one who is no different from others. Certainly, we're not to be lazy when it comes to speaking, but we do have a challenge here to effective Christian living, to walk in love and to walk in the light. The most powerful witness of all is genuine godly life, certainly backed up with courageous words. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, says Paul, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, O sleeper. Hey, have you ever heard those words in the morning? Somebody calling you to get up out of bed, maybe in a different way. Awake, O sleeper. I do remember being in a mission in North Wales many years ago when I was younger, and some people were taking a bit of advantage in the morning trying to sleep in. If they did that, the chaplain would walk into the room and start singing to them and be sure that they got up after that. Awake, O sleeper. Awake, O sleeper. He sung words from a musical. Good morning, you've slept the whole night through. Good morning to you. It comes from some musical, I think. But this here is an extract from a baptismal hymn. It's an appropriate conclusion to what Paul's saying about walking in the light. Conversion is what? It's an awakening, isn't it? It's awakening from sleep. You're given a new life, spiritual life, being brought from darkness to light. And you're finished with the life of sin, and you're living this counterculture, going against the tide. We are summoned to live a new life as a result. Walk in love, be imitators of God, walk in love, walk in the light, expose the darkness, a contrast to the darkness. And finally this morning, the Christian walk goes on. You enter the walk, you begin the walk when you know Christ as Savior. We're called to walk in love, we're called to walk in the light, but also to walk wisely. Walk in wisdom in verses 15 to 21. Walk wisely. Wisdom and the will of God are related. In Proverbs chapter 4, we read these words. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Walk, says Paul in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully. Okay, that can be translated as walk circumspectly. If you can imagine, any ever bothered with cats in your back garden or in your garden? I get a few visitors sometimes, especially at this time of the year. And sometimes, occasionally at night, I'll hear them meowing and having their fights or whatever they do. I don't know, because I'm in my bed at the time, but I can just hear the meowing and the cat chorus, whatever. Can you imagine, though, a cat walking along a wall? And imagine on that wall there's broken glass. How's the cat going to have to walk? I remember, actually, when I got the grass lifted up from the back garden and the paving slabs and the chippings putting down, the cats would appear, but they were quite clever creatures. They actually were careful about where they were putting their feet. And they were sort of like this. They were putting their foot down and then drawing back, and they were just not sure about this at all. They knew that something was different. Imagine a cat walking along a wall where there's broken glass. What's the cat going to do? The cat's going to have to watch where he puts his feet. So must we. I'm not saying we have to watch where we put our feet, we do, but we have to walk carefully. That's what I mean. Don't just rush ahead. Consider each step wisely. Why should we do that? Well, Paul says here, for the verse 16, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. We're to make best use of the opportunities God gives us. Use it to the fullest possible advantage. Life is short. Now, years ago, the Beatles had a song and one of the choruses that said, "Life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend." Actually, the man that sung that words, John Lennon, his life was short. It was taken from him. But we can learn, certainly, that life is very short and there's no time for fussing and fighting, my friend. We should make the best use of what is given to us. Take advantage. The days may be shorter than you realize. And the days are evil, verse 16. The days are evil. What would it have meant in Paul's time? Roman persecution was on the way. It's foolish to waste opportunities to witness and win the lost, both as a church and as Christians. It's foolish to waste the opportunities. Life is short. Life at best is very brief, as the old hymn said. Life at best is very brief. And the opportunities may be taken away by what goes on in our society. There are bills being passed or trying to be passed in the different parliaments. It's going to make it harder and harder for Christians as well. At the moment, praise God for the gospel freedoms we do have. In fact, compared to some other countries, we don't care about living. But who knows? Are we using the time wisely? Set yourself to knowing what God wants in verse 17. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Set yourself to knowing what God wants, again, as Christians or as a church. What is God's will for us? Have we tried to find it out? Have we prayed about it? Have we asked what is right and what is wrong for us? We should know, we should have thought, and we should be praying over matters. We should have an understanding of what the Lord is requiring of us. And to emphasize the point, Paul moves on to speak of a particular sin of his day, and a sin that we're familiar with too, drunkenness, verse 18. When people got together in those days, as today, they would have got drunk. We were told not to do that. When we get together, we're told to live in a different way, to stand out. We've got to be sober-minded. We've got to be sober-minded. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. We have to be sober-minded, in charge of our faculties, in charge of ourselves, not drunk with wine or other things. Those who walk with Christ should not walk that way. They are to be filled with the Spirit, constantly controlled by the Spirit in mind and in emotions and will. The apostle contrasts the foolishness of getting drunk with wine with sweet fellowship to be experienced with Christ in the Spirit. He's saying, getting drunk with wine, well, you can imagine the effects, at least the debauchery. It doesn't lead to worthwhile pleasure, usable knowledge, or perfect contentment. It will not help, it'll hurt. People will go into their work on Monday morning with a stuttering headache, as they would say. It all leaves a bad taste in the mouth. Being filled with the Spirit, though, will enrich someone. That's what we're supposed to do. We get together, okay, we're to be filled with the Spirit. It will enrich us with lasting joy, inner satisfaction, real contentment. It will sharpen our faculties to know the Lord's will. What's it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Someone comes to know, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they receive the Spirit, baptized with the Spirit, as the Scripture says. Paul says you're all baptized in one Spirit. At Pentecost, the believers were baptized with the Spirit, and the body of Christ was formed. But also there were times when they were filled with the Spirit, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. And this filling gave them power they needed to witness for Christ. There were those moments when they had that strength from God, filled with the Spirit, able to witness for Christ. Be filled, be controlled, let it happen. It's a command. What will happen if we're filled with the Spirit? Well, verse 19 tells us, we'll be filled with joy, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Their hearts go out to God in joyful worship. Despite the circumstances, remember, they were facing persecution, but they can be joyful because they're filled with the Spirit. Thankful as well, giving thanks always in verse 20 for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not moaning. Those who have experienced the grace of God in their lives ought to be grateful for what God does for us and what God brings to us. And also, you know, thankful, joyful, submissive as well. Out of reverence to God, each one submits to one another out of reverence for Christ. No one says, I'm the greatest, I'm better. Okay, we submit to one another. How will we live in our lives? Are we walking with God? Do we know God through Jesus Christ? Are we walking the walk? Are we living our lives? Are we filled with the Spirit? Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Are we? How do you get filled with the Spirit? Well, think of what Paul's contrasted with here. He's contrasted with drunkenness. How does somebody get drunk? They drink, don't they? They drink and they drink and they drink all night. How does someone get drunk with wine? They keep on drinking. Well, we're not to be like that, but we are to drink spiritual things. We have to drink and drink and drink spiritual things until we come under the Spirit's influence. We are therefore to go to Christ. Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But by this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. Keep on drinking. Prayer meeting. Listening to the Bible being preached. Studying the Word. Join fellowship with each other. Don't cut yourself off from each other. Enjoy fellowship with each other. Talk to each other. Talk to each other at tea time after the service. The Lord's table as well, when we have that. It's a great way of being, you know, renewing your faith as well, a time for renewal. Be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit will do his work through all these means, and we become more spiritual. Like I say, the Christian doesn't become sinless, but we should sin less and less and less and less. The Spirit will work through these means then. We should experience joy, thankfulness, and be submissive. All right, how are we walking? Are we walking the way of the world? Are we walking with God? We can walk with God by knowing God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've taken the step of faith and put your faith and trust in Jesus and know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and know that you're in a right relationship with God, and you've begun the Christian walk. A walk that leads through many different paths, highs and lows, but ultimately a path that leads to glory. You're walking the walk, and how are you walking that walk? Paul says, walk in love. It's a challenge, isn't it? Walk in love, walk in the light, and walk wisely. Are we doing these things? Are we walking closely with the Lord? The walk can be ours, and we need to be filled with the Spirit and able to walk that walk. May that be our experience in these days that we're living in. Amen. And we're going to sing in closing that hymn, the old hymn, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, Granted Jesus, this is my plea. Let's rise as we are able and sing together. Thank you for your word. Help us not to just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Also, may we all be sure that we are indeed walking with you, knowing you through Jesus, the Savior, And may we walk in love, walk in the light, and walk wisely, and be filled with your Spirit. Now may you bless our fellowship together, Lord, and we do pray in the days to come that your grace, mercy, and peace would rest upon each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.